Welcome, everybody, to the Heal It Show, where we explore the science, spirituality, and consciousness of healing and how each of us can unlock the body's innate intelligence to restore balance, vitality, and joy. Today, we're going to take a dive into the topic I think that's often overlooked in traditional medicine, yet deeply rooted in both the ancient Vedic wisdom and modern neuroscience, which is the healing power of humor. And my guest and author today is Cara Lockwood. She has spent years helping people navigate illness, treatment, and recovery with laughter, lightness, and playful spirit that disarms fear and opens the heart. You know, our natural state is bliss and inner joy. The bliss is at the core of our consciousness, believe it or not. I know you're feeling stressed out and worried and all anxious and all that. That's not your natural state of being. Bliss truly is, joy is. So when we reconnect with that joy, even in difficult times, the body energy begins to flow freely again. And neuroscience now confirms what the sages taught us thousands of years ago. Humor reduces stress hormones, strengthens immune function, and resets the brain's healing pathways. So today, Cara and I will explore how humor can transform the healing journey before treatment, during treatment, and after recovery. So this is a conversation about remembering, by the way, who we are, shifting our chemistry through consciousness, and awakening the joy that heals us. That sounds all pretty good, right? Well, we're going to take a deep dive into that today. You know, neuroscience, I'm telling you, has shown us without a doubt that laughter downgrades the amygdala and activates the parasympathetic nervous system. And it, you know, from a Vedic point of view, which you guys know that's where I come from, it moves us out of fear and back into our natural state of calmness. And joy strengthens our immune system. So, you know, humor is the disruptor, and that's what we're going to take a deep dive in. Listen, I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to have my guest, Cara, and we're going to explore this in depth. So we will be right back.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new, clinically proven Legsercise Pro, the natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation the natural drug-free way.
After using Legsercise for a week, I felt like I wanted to go for a walk again without pain like I used to.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
It's helped with the swelling and the pain. The tingling feeling is gone.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the clinically proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call now.
Well, welcome, Cara Lockwood, to our show today. It's so good to have you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
What a beautiful smile you have. I feel already.
I love that.
So those of you that don't know Cara Lockwood, she is a USA Today bestselling author with more than 35 books, including the USA Today's bestseller, The Takeover, and I Do, But I Don't, which became a Lifetime original movie starring Denise Richards. Her latest, There's No Good Book for This, But I Wrote One Anyway. I love that. The Irreverent Guide to Crushing Breast Cancer, and she just released that October of this year. She blends memoir, humor, and practical advice for navigating diagnosis, treatment, and recovery. A breast cancer survivor, Cara endured a double mastectomy, chemotherapy, and reconstruction before going into remission in 2024, thank God. And so half of the book's proceeds go to benefit breast cancer research. Awesome. Awesome, Cara. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you. So am I.
All right. 35 books. Holy tamale. Wait, where do you get this inspiration to do this?
Yeah. You know, I just have always loved writing. It's just been in me. You know, I just love storytelling. And normally I write romances and rom-coms. So there's a lot of comedy in my writing, but it's always with a happy ending. So there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of falling in love. There's a lot of, you know, all of the good things in my books. So, you know, trying to spread a little joy.
Well, you spread joy just with the title of this book, right? Yeah. There's no good book for this, but I wrote one anyway. I mean, how is it better than that?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, in 2023, when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, you know, just turned my world upside down. And I didn't think there really was a good book out there for handling like the emotional journey, you know, dealing with just the overwhelming, you know, emotions involved. There's a whole lot of medical books, and there's not so many, you know, talking about mental health while you're going through something like this, for sure.
Right. Well, there's not. And you know, although it's kind of individual to each person how they're going through, there's certain states of consciousness that when we stay in those states, as I talked to, you know, earlier in the dialogue here that I had, neuroscience has shown us that, you know, joy and happiness, this is part of the healing process. How did you come across that, by the way?
Yeah. You know, well, humor, I feel like it's so essential just to my life. I find things funny. I like humor. I love comedies. I love writing rom-coms. You know, I think there's just something so joyful about laughing. You know, it's we're here for a short time, and I feel like we should enjoy that time, you know, as much as we can. And for me, when I was diagnosed, humor became the way to banish fear, because, you know, cancer is so terrifying. It you know, rocks your world. It makes you face mortality probably much sooner than you want to. You know, but humor has a way of deflating that stress that comes with fear. And so for me, yeah, it helped me do that.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stress you know, like you said, your mortality is also challenged, and I bet there's a sense of hopelessness. Like, what, you know, how do I cope with this? What am I going to do? Right.
Yeah. I mean, cancer just sort of comes in, and it feels like it takes over, you know, like you have to go to all the doctor's appointments and do all the tests and maybe all the treatments, and, you know, it's sort of running your life, but it isn't. You know, cancer doesn't get to decide. You still decide your treatment, but it sort of feels like you're on a runaway roller coaster for a while. So, you know, humor, and I think that's because you're so afraid. You know, it's hard to get that perspective. You know, and humor sort of helps deflate fear and get you settled so that you can see things more clearly than you could otherwise, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's. You know, fear is very real in this. And is that the antidote for fear? Is that what we're talking about? Is humor the antidote for fear here?
Yeah. I think so, because I also, you know, science tells us that fear sort of shuts off your logical brain. You know, your body's in like flight or fight survival mode.
Yeah.
And humor sort of puts the logical brain back online, because you have to use your brain to find something funny.
Well, you do. And you know, I live with the philosophy that things like this aren't done to me. They're done for me. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I love that. That's
great. Yeah. So it's done for us. So if that's the case, like, what did you learn from this?
So many things. First of all, I think, you know, I spend my time now thinking that I'm just living on bonus time, because, you know, I the cancer was discovered in a routine mammogram. There is no family history. There was no sign of it. You know, if I hadn't gotten that routine mammogram, I wouldn't be here right now. So to me, it's bonus time. But at the same time, I realized it was always bonus time. We're never guaranteed a certain amount of time. It always ends before we're ready. Yeah. So now I'm very much more intentional about how I live my life. What things do I value? You know, what do I put my effort in working? You know, where do I put all of my effort in my relationships? Like, everything's just much more intentional, because I know it's very temporary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, medical science doesn't seem to use thermograms much, but the thermograms also they can detect the cancers well before the mammograms. They can just find the hot areas on the surface of the skin. So I just want to throw that out there with my audience. So, you know, being proactive with our health right now is what it's really about. You know, when I look around and I see, you know, just the population of obesity in my area, and I know it's permeating not just our country, other countries around the world. That's a warning sign that something's off. And I think we really need to pay more attention to that, start educating ourselves in much greater ways and learning what we're putting into our bodies has a direct impact, not only on our mental health, but our physical health, but also our mental, emotional health.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's so true. I think we all have to advocate way more than we do. You know, I think sometimes it can be scary to advocate because, you know, you don't really want to worry about, am I going to get cancer from eating this? But, you know, we do have to look out for ourselves. That's what we should do.
Well, you know, I want to ask you about this in the book too. Did you kind of shift self-talk, or maybe you did already, but you know, a lot of people have such a negative image of themselves and a negative self-talk that's going on. And now you put cancer on that, right? And now it's like, oh my, you know, that, well, I deserve it. How did I get this? I they have guilt or shame or remorse. There's all these emotions that go through this. How did you change your self-talk, right?
Yeah. You know, that's such a great question because it's so true. You know, I think when I was diagnosed, I beat myself up for, you know, eating fast food, having too much wine, you know, not going to the doctor enough, like not exercising enough, you know, because it's, you can always do more. Yeah. And so I spent a lot of time beating myself up. And you know, I think at the end of the day, there's a difference between taking, you know, accountability for the situation now and then heaping on too much negativity and blame for something you can't change, which is.
Well, it's kind of like, well, you know, you got weeds in the garden. OK, but, you know, but there's a beautiful lawn. You know, do you just focus on the weeds or you go, well, wait a second, maybe I need to pull the weeds out, but I don't need to focus on it every single day.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, for me too, there was this whole journey also helped me unpack sort of the negative thoughts I had just about myself in general, just that maybe I wasn't up for this fight. Maybe, you know, I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't, you know, brave enough. I wasn't all of the enoughs.
All of the enoughs. And, you know, as you started to change that self-talk, how did it change for you? Like, what did you start saying to yourself differently?
Yeah. You know, it was really going through some very difficult things. And one of those was the double mastectomy. That was a major surgery, the only major surgery I'd had in my life. And for me personally, it was I had a lot of fear around it. I don't like, you know, being cut on. I think as many people don't. I right up until that surgery, I browsed all sorts of airfares to Australia thinking maybe I could just go there and hide out. on the beach.
Let me just go hang on the beach. Why do all these need to do that?
Right. You know, throw some shrimps on the Barbie and just have a good time. You know, but I did go through with the surgery. I got healthy too. I listened to my doctors, but I also ate better, exercised, you know, took care of myself, you know, dealt with the mental health part of it too. And, you know, after the surgery, once I realized I did something very, very scary and very, very hard and I came through it, I gave myself, you know, a compliment. I said, well, you know, good job. And I realized that there wasn't a but you could have done this better. But, you know, that was embarrassing when you said that. Or, you know, you didn't quite do this so great.
Yeah.
There wasn't a caveat. There wasn't any passive aggressive undertone. Yeah. And so it was a revelation because I realized up until that point, I had so much negativity in whatever compliment I gave myself. And this time I didn't because I knew it was hard and terrifying and I did it anyway. Yeah. And so from that point, I'm like, you know, I'm going to reevaluate this negativity. I'm going to break apart these thoughts, challenge them a little bit.
Yes. And obviously it worked, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're here. You're here, and you're talking to me. You're writing more books, and
yeah, yes,
and life is good, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel much better about myself, just in general. You know, the self-esteem is much better than it was before.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's that piece. I got to take a break, but there is, and maybe we'll go this way here. You kind of mentioned self-esteem is higher. There's a part of self-acceptance and self-love that go with self-esteem.
Yes.
So I'd like to dive into that and your point of view on that as you heal this cancer, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a quick break and then we'll be right back. I think I'm gonna take a break. I don't know. Maybe not. Well, yeah. We're gonna keep going. Actually.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and dive into that. Yeah.
Great. You know, if absolutely, and I think the self-love and the self-care came in because, you know, I came to an accepting that I had cancer. So that's the first step of acceptance. But then there was a lot of dealing with the betrayal of it. You know, my body's trying to kill me. So it just felt like I was betraying myself, you know, in a lot of ways. And so I had to get to a point where I realized my body was not doing it on purpose, you know. And so once I got there and sort of felt like I was really more, my body was like my inner child that I was trying to take care of, you know, and then once I realized that it wasn't doing it on purpose. It wasn't doing it to hurt us.
You know, you mentioned that piece about, you know, you're eating better. And I want to throw something out there is I'm very blessed. I have a very conscious wife who's she shops, she looks, reads labels, she knows all that. And I don't know as much as her. So like I'll go into shopping, you know, and if I don't know something, I do know this, you know, we got a processed food epidemic.
Right? Yeah, it's very true.
There's certain things I like to eat, right?
Yeah, so they taste good.
I'll take ChatGPT with me, right? And if there's something on the label that I go, oh, I've heard about that, or oh, maybe I shouldn't eat that. I just ask chat, hey, what are the side effects?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know,
that's smart.
I'm probably a little more crazy than most people to do that. They'll just grab it. But it's proven success in my life, right? I'm doing pretty good. So
that's great. No, and processed foods are killer. I mean, they really are. And, you know, but they're quick and easy and they taste great. So
they are. And, you know, there are, I always say, give the dog a bone, right? You know, if you're craving something, go get it, right? As long as you're not addicted to it. But you know, if we're balancing out with a lot of fruits and vegetables and nuts, that's it.
Yes.
Now, if that's most of your diet, you're probably going to do better than most out there. I can tell you that. Every person I've had on this show has said that. And they've also said this, and this is the part that I love talking with you about. They've also said this emotional component to health. Okay.
Yes.
So I've had several people come on, several, you know, MDs and practitioners that say that somewhere between 80 to 90% of all physical health is actually caused from repressed emotion.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that. I do have to take a break now. We'll talk about that when I get back.
Radio. UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Talking to Carla. Oh, it just went in and out. Carla Lockwood today. Yeah. And Carla has a book out, a new book out. And, you know, we'll put that up on the screen right now because I think it's... looks like we may not put it up on the show. We will put it up in just a minute. But Carla, so that emotional component that we're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's so important. I mean, people say all the time that, you know, attitude matters in fighting cancer, and it does.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes people make the mistake of thinking it's attitude, like I need to just be blindly optimistic, you know, live, laugh, love, you know, and in order to fight cancer. I think you can be salty and sarcastic and fight cancer too. I think the emotional component is just getting a hold of those negative emotions, you know, that fear, that the stress, the anger. There's a lot of anger too that comes with cancer diagnosis. I cannot tell you how many times I talked to my nurses and practitioners and doctors who were on the other end of that anger. Wow. from patients. Wow. You know, yeah, because they had nowhere else to put it. So they
put it. I think of the stages of grief. I think that, you know, you go through, you know, you negotiate, you know, denial, negotiate, anger, you know, acceptance, and then healing, right?
Yeah, you have all of those. Yeah, so true. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And it's interesting, too, because I think, like you said, the medical community, I think in general, when they talk about treating cancer, they don't treat the emotional mental health aspect of it nearly as aggressively as they should. I think when you get your cancer diagnosis, you should also get like an emotional support plan and like, you know, a therapist, and, you know.
I also throw in the spiritual part to that.
Yes.
So I think, you know, from my experience is that when we heal mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and physically, it's all combined. It's not like one, you know. So if you want permanent and lasting healing, we work on ourselves. We start to understand how the mind, body, spirit works.
Yes, and they're all connected.
All connected, and you know, and not only connected, we be it, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's interesting too, because I think so many people don't deal with the spiritual and emotional part of it while they're going through cancer. And so the doctors will tell you at the end of your treatment, now's usually the time that you get run over by a truck emotionally, that the depression comes at the end because, you know, you haven't dealt with it this whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a denial to, you know, well, yeah. And there's probably, I mean, anger with God, anger with the universe, anger with, you know, you're dealing with these. And a lot of times people repress those emotions and that makes you worse.
It does. Because they're going to come out anyway.
They
are going to come out. And, you know, it's interesting because I think when I was first diagnosed, I'm like a lot of people. I thought, why me? Why me? And then, you know, talking to my therapist and thinking a lot spiritually, I came to the conclusion, like, why not me? Like, you know, I mean, it's not that it's a punishment. It's just that these things happen, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a big piece to this. It's not a punishment.
Right. Okay?
You're not being punished, right?
Right.
There's something, you know, in my world, we're all evolving, growing, learning, you know, expanding our consciousness. And so it's a place of understanding, like, okay, you know, this is working, this isn't working. What can I do better here? Okay. But it's not that if we turn it back on ourselves, it really hurts. It really hurts us.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It does.
But what helps us is the humor, you know, is the secret weapon. So
it is.
What kind of humor are we talking about? Like, you know, getting naked in the mirror and smiling at yourself, or are you dancing out there doing silly things on tables? I don't know, whatever you do, right?
I mean, I think it's everything. I think there's so much that we can find funny if we give ourselves permission to laugh. You know, I think part of it is like, yes, you're going through something traumatic and serious and awful, but funny things will happen and it's okay to laugh. In fact, it's good to laugh. It's important to laugh. So, you know, I laughed at going to get an MRI because, I made a lot of mistakes in getting ready for my MRI. And,
right.
You know, I thought it was hilarious. My husband and I joked all the time on the email about different things. We amped ourselves up with silly, you know, anthem songs. Going to chemo, you know, I mean, everyone's humor is different. So I think you find what works for you, but give yourself permission to laugh.
Well, you know, I think it's really, really important to stop taking yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think a lot of us take ourselves, this is so serious. Oh my God. You know, there's a lot of drama in this. And if we could release some of the drama and go into the humor, and that's what we're talking about in the book.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, because we do take ourselves seriously and we should, but there's a time and place for that. And there's also a time and place to laugh and poke fun at ourselves, and we should.
Yeah. Well, listen, honestly, there is no good book for this, quite frankly.
Yes, now, there isn't.
And if you would like to find out about this amazing book, you can go to where, Kara?
KaraTheAuthor.com.
Okay. Say it again.
KaraTheAuthor.com.
KaraTheAuthor.com. How simple is that?
Yeah.
By the way, is this book on Amazon at all?
Yes. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pretty much everywhere. So, And there's an audiobook as well if you prefer listening. Yeah. And I've read it. So if you like my voice, you can have more of it.
Oh, that is so cool. Well, the audios make a big difference, I think. At least for guys like me. You know, I love the audio.
I do too. I do too. In the car, on, you know, doing dishes. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. All right. So, you know, hey, I was getting back on the humor side of this. Laughing yoga. Did you ever do that?
I haven't, but I've wanted to. I have read about it and I really do want to because I think that sounds amazing.
I did it one time. I had I was up skiing with two buddies of mine, and my one buddy Kevin said, "Hey, you guys, I've been going to laughing yoga classes." And I said, "Okay." And he says, "We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it right now." And I said, "Okay."
Okay, all right. I guess I'll go.
Well, it's interesting because you know, it's like in this experience that I had, we just started laughing at nothing, and then it's you know, it's almost a fake laugh at first. But then eventually it turns into real laughing. It's pretty amazing, right? Silly things.
You just fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Well, one thing I love about your book is every chapter ends with a pep talk.
Yeah,
so can you give me an example of your pep talk?
Yeah. Well,
actually, you know what? I got to take a break. We'll come right back. We'll do the pep talk.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm with Carl Lockwood. Okay, pep talk at the end, at the end of every chapter. Give us an example.
Yeah. Well, the pep talks are just about, helping people get through hard things. So I tell people they're stronger than they think they are, that I see them, that I've been where they are, that I know the feelings. I know feeling like, there's no way out, but there really just there's no way but through. So keeping in mind that we just have to keep on this journey and keep putting one foot in front of the other, I do the best job I can to just try to keep people centered and grounded and encouraging them to take some time for themselves.
I love that. I love it. One of the things I do to keep myself healthy and grounded is I wake up in the morning, and when my eyes wake up, all right, when I open up, first thing I do is I go to gratitude, because I learn how I start my day. A lot of times is how I end my day. And how big was gratitude for you in the healing process?
Enormous. And I think it was challenging on some days to find, because I felt very sick from some of the treatment. But at the same time, I was more grateful for a lot of the smaller things, a cup of chamomile tea. An English muffin with apricot jam. I mean, these things feel very small and we take them for granted, but they were little treats, things that I could eat when I was going through chemo, which I there were a host of things that I couldn't. I love coffee, but had to give it up because it just upset my stomach too much. And, so there were other things that I had to give up, but chamomile tea I could have. and I loved it. I, had all different flavors and all different kinds, and finding little bits of gratitude, because I think going through something difficult like cancer shows you that things can get worse very quickly.
Well, that's one of the things, whether it's cancer or whether you're just getting sick, you've got a bad cold or flu, feels like you're going to be that way forever.
Yes.
That's part of the challenge, right?
Yeah.
And the number one phrase I use in everything in my world is this too shall pass.
Right? Yeah, I love that.
We just have to use it. It's like, this too shall pass. It's not permanent, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And by the way, here's my experience. If somebody tells you it's going to be permanent, question.
Oh. Yes.
And go get other diagnoses from other people that go, I might know how to cure this, right?
Yeah.
I might know how to heal this. This is okay. You're going through a tough time, but maybe you don't have to be on meds your whole life. Maybe there's somebody else out there, if you get on the healing quest, that can help us, right?
Absolutely. Because there really isn't a single constant but change. Like, things will change. Like, they always change.
They always change. And, like we said, we're part of the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're starting to, imagine, maybe I can really heal from this. Maybe I can go out and start walking again. Maybe I can go out and start doing some of the things I love to do again. Like you said, just eating that treat when you're going through chemo.
Yeah.
Little things matter, right?
They do. And then the people in your life that you're so grateful for, you know, amazing people show up in your life when you're going through something difficult. And then you can see how strong your network is, like how loved you are, because love is just the most powerful thing, I think, in the universe. So, you know, and it can show up for you in great ways when you feel like you're, you know, suffering, other people can come to your aid. And that's amazing.
Well, I want to take a little deeper dive in love, because love heals everything. It honestly does. It lets people think love kind of like human love or romantic love. You know, love is an energy. It's a frequency. It's a vibration.
It is.
And when we start to tune that into our consciousness, our body responds to love.
Yeah. Yeah. Blood pressure goes down. Yeah.
Yeah, there's neuroscience. There's a lot of science around this, right? Blood pressures go down, you know, T cells increase or decrease, you know what? I mean, I don't know which way they're supposed to go, but whatever.
Yes, yeah.
They go the right way.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, it's amazing. So one of the things that I'm wondering, I don't know if you put this in the book or not, is just thinking of somebody that you love deeply, you know, think of a moment that you really love. Maybe when you were standing at the altar getting married, or you had your first child. Yeah. You met your best friend, or you got your first dog, right?
Yeah.
Or pet, whatever that means. But you feel that, and then you allow that to just permeate every cell of your body.
Yeah.
Allow it to go out into your space, right? And the world eventually, right? You start to feel that love in all areas.
Yeah. You know,
it's a powerful force.
It is. And I love the way you talk about that, because that's also how I felt. During treatment, when I was well enough, I would take long walks on my treadmill, because I live in near Chicago. So in the winter, it's very cold and there's not a lot of outdoor activity. But, you know, I spent a lot of time on that treadmill, imagining all the people in my life that I loved and who I was fighting for. And it really just felt like a golden energy. I don't know. It was really...
Well, it is an energy. And, you know, I know when my wife and I first got together, you know, I had my apartment and everything I had, all my stuff, and she had all her stuff in her place. And we came together and she go, I don't really like that. And I'm like, well, I don't really like that.
Right.
We decided at that point, we thought, you know, there's millions of objects in the world. Why don't we just bring objects into our home that we both love?
Yeah.
And it may take some negotiation, may say it takes some time. But quite frankly, when you walk into my home, everybody tells me this, there's an energy, a frequency, a vibration that go, oh my gosh, we just love being here.
Yeah.
So you feel that
love. That's wonderful. I love that. Like those little practical things you can do to increase the frequency. I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, you're donating half of the proceeds to the Susan G. Korman Foundation and the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. What made you make that big decision?
Yeah. You know, for me, it's just very important that we do what we can to increase our knowledge about how to treat and hopefully cure cancer. I would like nothing better than for the Cancer Club to be closed for all new members. And we only read about it in history books like, you know, the plague. That would be great. You know, so it was important to me to support research where I could so we can understand this problem better.
Yeah. Well, someday we will close the cancer clinics. We will close this down because we will have understood what we need to do, and we'll understand how to heal when the body creates cancers in the body. You know, in my world, there's only one disease in my world. Now, I'm not an MD. I'm not a chiropractor. I'm not a practitioner of any kind, but the one disease is called toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have when there's toxicity going on in our, you know, mentally or emotionally manifest physically, we have to clean it out. We just have to release it, right? So some kinds of toxicity on the mental level, of course, we talked, you know, is that forgiveness piece. We've got to forgive ourselves and accept ourselves and love ourselves, right? You know, the emotional piece, sometimes there's, you know, things we have to, you know, look at, right? And, you know, and be able to really let go of, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's not easy sometimes. You know, we've been wounded or abused, or, you know, it's difficult. And but it can be done. It's being done by tens of thousands of people all the time. And as they do, you know, I've seen it where you can let go emotionally and all of a sudden the physical healing takes place.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. I mean, they're so interconnected. They're completely interconnected.
Exactly. Yeah. So everything's connected. So I think that's the key. All right. Listen, I want to put the book up on the screen one more time because it's so beautiful. I love your cover, by the way.
Thank you.
Beautiful pink ribbon. There's no good book for this. And when the readers read your book, because it's part memoir, part, part practical ways that people can use humor to expand their awareness. What are people going to walk away with?
I hope they walk away with feeling they're not alone, that all the things they're feeling are okay. Yeah. They're all big feelings and they're all okay. Yeah. And that they're stronger than they think they are, because they are. Like, you know, I mean, I think we're all can do more than we give ourselves credit for. And, you know, the Navy SEALs will say to themselves that when they feel like quitting, they're only 40% there. And I think that's true of all of us. So I think our strength is deeper than we know.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're scared to test it, but it's there.
Wow. I love that last line. Our strength is deeper than we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm,
yeah. Well, I'm wondering, I got one last question and we're going to close out this segment. So I want to talk about in the book, you know, what not to say list, right?
Yes.
What don't you say to yourself when you're going through this? Because I think it's important. It's
important. Yeah. 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 I mean, I think when bad things happen, we sort of reach for platitudes, you know, like everything happens for a reason, you know, and while these things can be true and we can assign meaning to difficult times in our life later. But it's difficult in the moment, you know, to really it feels like we're telling ourselves or other people are telling us, well, I'm glad you have cancer. Good for you. Look at that meaning. That's really great. And, you know, it's not helpful, you know, to us, because I think while you're going through something so hard, you really want, you know, someone to see that you're struggling, someone to empathize with that. I say there are two seats on a roller coaster for a reason, because when something terrifying is happening, you really just want to look to the side and say, is this as bad as I think? I think it's horrible. And then someone's like, yes, it is. And you're like, okay, all right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. I'm really glad we talked about that piece. Well, Cara, thank you. I know you got an appointment you got to get to. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
And my team will be in touch with your team, and we'll get you everything you need to be able to let your family and friends and associates know about this.
Perfect. I'd love that. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. This has been wonderful.
It's been wonderful. Me too. All righty. Take care.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu Pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Well, Well, welcome back. Listen, I loved that conversation. I hope you did too. You know, one of the things that I want to talk to you about too is identity. Sometimes we start to identify with our illness, and sometimes people label us with our illness. And if you take on the identity of illness, a lot of times you stay in that place. So the truth is, you're not your illness. You know that, right? The truth is, you're a very high being. You're a child of the Most High. And within you have the power to overcome anything. And quite frankly, you know, I didn't talk much on the spiritual side of this, but I want to talk for a minute because God can heal anything, quite frankly. Nothing is impossible to your Creator. A Creator lives within you, it lives within me. That force is right here, right now. So if you let you go of the identity of the illness and you start to tune into the truth of who you are, the essence of you, then you have a much, much better chance probably of being able to heal just about anything, wouldn't you say? You know, we place meaning on a lot of things. So meaning, if you're placing the meaning that, you know, there's, you know, something wrong with you or something's not right, or you take it on again, you know, as part of your identity, part of your personality, that's going to hurt your healing. So you don't want to do that. You want to let that go. And our words do matter. You know, if you're saying to yourself, well, I feel lousy, the day sucks, you know, I'm overwhelmed, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I'll never get through this. Those kind of words can really slow your healing process. You want to change that around to, you know, I am grateful for the day. My day is filled with love, with light. I'm getting stronger and stronger every day in every way. I am feeling God's blessings, God's grace flowing through me today. I'm living in a place of all possibility where healing energies are flowing into me, around me, and through me every moment of every day in every way. You want to really take some time, write out your affirmation, right? So when you're feeling that maybe depressed state, you can start to use that affirmation to uplift and upshift your energy. Try it out. You know, it'll work for you. It works for millions of people when they change their conscious communication with themselves. We talk to ourselves in a very upbeat, loving, kind way. Just try it for 7 days, okay? Don't believe me. Try it for 7 days. What's going to happen is you're going to get better and better. Now, I have a gift for you. So if you're going through this healing process and you're wondering, well, you know, maybe Ken's right. Maybe there's some emotional baggage down there. Maybe there's some guilt, some shame, some remorse, some trauma, drama, you know, all that stuff underneath the surface, and I'm not really aware of it. How do I get rid of that? Well, you go to my website, you go to kendfoster.com, kendfoster.com. On the homepage, you scroll down, and right there is called this gift for you. It's called the release process. The release process. It's a process that takes you through your childhood up to where you are currently and helps you identify some of the underlying limiting beliefs that are there and be able to make a conscious choice to release that. Right now, you don't have to release the memory. All right, the memory might be there, but the emotion around it will be released, and you will be able to rise to the surface in a much greater, enlightened way, is what I would say. So, I hope you do it. It might take you 3-4 hours to do it, but listen, try to do it as soon as you can, okay? Because you know, there's a reason you're here, there's a reason you've stuck to the end with this. To the very end, you listen to this whole thing, this whole amazing show, but you're here at the end, and this is my gift to you. So go to my site, go ahead and get that, and be able to shift your consciousness. And, you know, if you do that, life's just going to get better and better for you. It just does, right? You know, I've been through a lot in my life. I've been through a lot of pain and suffering and challenges and everything that probably... You don't know, a lot of people don't know what I've been through, but you know, I know you've been through a lot of that too. But here's what I know, and I said earlier in the program, I'll just close with this. You know, God is not doing things to you, He's going doing things for you. And if you live from that place, this is being done for me so I can learn, so I can grow, so I can evolve. You don't have to keep repeating mistakes. You can consciously let them go. I will say this, that stillness is the price of greatness. Stillness is the cost that we use to heal. So get still with yourself. Get quiet. get into a place where you can maybe let go of your thoughts, journal about your thoughts, where you are. You know, it doesn't have to be a positive when you start out. It can be anything. But, you know, if you journal for a while about what's going on, eventually page two or three, you're going to get to a place where you start to feel better and better. So I hope you'll take me up on that. All right. From my heart to yours, you know, please pass on this show. Please let people know about it. And we'll talk to you next time. Take care.